The Innovations Podcast for Tuesday, May 23rd, 2006, coming to you from Washington, D.C. I'm Phil McKinney, and welcome to this week's Kill Innovations podcast. Before we get started, please keep in mind that the information and opinions expressed in this podcast are mine and mine alone, and do not necessarily reflect those of my past, current, or future employers. For those of you who are regular listeners of the podcast, you know that I have not put up a podcast in almost 3 weeks now. So what I'm going to do here is I'm posting up a recording of the speech that I gave last week. The title of the speech was on the creative economy. And basically, to kind of set up the speech, I was talking about the difference, or I should say the migration from an information or knowledge economy to the creative economy. Now, the audience was business leaders within the Washington, D.C. area. There were about 180, almost 200 people listening, I guess, at the event. They anticipated about 130, 140. We had an overflow crowd. The one of the challenge was is that there was no podium and no microphone, so I was delivering the speech without any kind of amplification. I recorded the speech using my little M-Audio MicroTrack recorder that I use when to record the podcast when I'm on the road. So hopefully, the quality will still come across fairly good. And again, this was leaders here in the Washington, D.C. area. These were county officials, politicians, owners of typically small and medium-sized businesses. So for those of you who are outside the U.S., I will apologize because this context is very, very U.S.-centric or U.S.-focused, and it's about the challenges specifically here in the U.S. economy. In recognizing that there's this shift that's happening from the information and knowledge economy to the creative economy. So again, if you're outside the U.S., I apologize, but you can use the same context of the message that I present for your own economy from the standpoint of remaining competitive in the global marketplace. As I've said in the past, the world is flat. It's becoming flatter every day. And so therefore, the differences between what happens in the geographies is becoming less and less, and anybody and any organization, any individual can win. It's no longer about where you live or what country you're based in or how you operate. It's really about how do you embrace the competitive changes that are happening in the marketplace. So with no further delay, please enjoy this speech on the creative economy. One of the things that we're seeing, at least what I'm seeing when I'm traveling around the world, is clearly this shift away from a knowledge economy to the creative economy. We all kind of have built our businesses, whether it's large businesses or small businesses, around the traditional of quality and pricing and being competitive in the marketplace from what we traditionally review or have the perspective of knowledge or information economy. But we all have to recognize the trend that's occurred over the last couple of years with all the massive outsourcing, the outsourcing of what you would traditionally view as knowledge jobs to lower cost, highly skilled workers in other parts of the world. Now, we've all seen the press headlines. We've all gotten, emotionally charged about the whole trend of outsourcing. But the reality is that there are a lot of highly skilled, highly motivated workers that are outside of the U.S. that can take on and are willing to take on that work. If you look at the educational system, for instance, in China, China now is producing 2 times the number of PhDs that we produce here in the U.S. If you look at PhD graduates within the U.S., over half of them are actually foreign students. It's actually very hard to get U.S. students, U.S. citizens, to continue on into higher education systems to go on for advanced degrees. So this is a natural trend where highly skilled workers, and that work is moving offshore, going to places like India, China. And to be quite honest, now even India is getting somewhat expensive to have workers. So now what you're seeing is this sudden shift towards workers in Eastern Europe. Czechoslovakia, for instance, is actually one of the fastest growing areas for high tech for offshoring. Large number of companies are positioning their R&D organizations and are actually moving that work offshore. So what's happening is leading companies, companies that have kind of seen this trend coming, are shifting out of being focused on a knowledge economy and moving to the creative economy. It's no longer just about science and math. It's about creativity. It's about imagination. It's about innovation and the ability to leverage that to the advantage of your customers and your businesses. Now, the U.S. has today the lead in this space. It's been the one area, if you look at, you know, design work such as the auto design, most of the auto design centers are here in the U.S., albeit leading cars are manufactured or they may be coming from a foreign company. Their design centers are predominantly here in the U.S. Why? Because the U.S. still has the largest consumer market in the world as far as having disposable income and are willing to buy products. So the U.S. is kind of being the market research area. Companies that want to move into this creative economy have to be resident here in the U.S. in order to tap into that, just the sheer size and the disposable income that we as citizens and people living in the U.S. bring to that market force. Now, the problem, though, is that companies that are today operating in a traditional knowledge information economy have to make the shift. You have to shift from a traditional kind of Six Sigma, focus on improving the process type of strategy. You got to get your managers and your management teams to think differently. You also have to think from the standpoint of corporations. What are the corporate values? How do you measure success? What does success mean in a creativity economy versus a traditional information or knowledge economy? Previously, the focus has been on MBAs. You know, people have looked from MBAs of being able to come in and provide the thought processes, the new thinking, the new management trends. There's actually a big groundswell towards encouraging students to go for MFAs, Masters of Fine Arts. Masters of Fine Arts are going to be the new leading managers in companies that are trying to make this shift towards this creative economy. It isn't just purely about learning the processes and doing case studies. It's being able to go out and truly understand the customer and to be able to predict what the customer needs before the customer can articulate it. It isn't about doing massive market research, which has traditionally been done as far as doing surveys within the information economy. You have to become predictive. You have to be creative and trying to understand what it is your customer wants and how do you take advantage and how do you leverage that. Now, many people and many managers that I talk to kind of think this as being kind of, oh, this is the new fad of the day. For those of us who lived through the mid-90s on business process reengineering and that nightmare that it caused, our individual businesses or us as individuals if we ended up getting downsized out of a job. But Boston Consulting did a survey of 940 senior executives in the U.S. So these are, you know, the top 2,500 companies. They interviewed 950 senior executives. 75% of those executives ranked innovation as their number one priority to grow their business. It isn't about cost reduction or process improvement. It's innovation being the number one. Those same executives, though, over half are highly dissatisfied with their ability to innovate, given the current culture and the current operation within their business. Another consulting group, Doblin, Inc., out of Chicago, which is actually one of the leading innovation firms out there, did a survey asking executives to kind of rank the success rate that they've had in innovation programs. Shockingly, the answer was is that 96% of innovation programs have failed in leading companies. So albeit we're seeing this shift towards the creative economy, the problem is that we don't have workers, managers, and executives trained here in the U.S. to take advantage of this shift that's occurring in the economy. So where do most companies go wrong in making the shift? Well, one is that there's really no stated innovation or creativity mission coming from management. You typically will have a handful of employees who tend to be highly creative. The other is that there's no creativity or innovation process within your organization. There's a lot of material out there to try to take a look at what are those processes, which ones work, which ones don't work, but you need to establish the process. The other is that if you're in a larger organization, you know, and I work for a company that has 155,000 employees, so needless to say, it's a little challenging to try to steer that ship some days, but you end up with challenges around what we call siloed functions. Marketing thinks they have a certain ownership of marketing innovation. You got engineering that thinks that they own a certain portion of the innovation, but the two teams never talk to each other. So you end up with these siloed efforts to develop new products, new concepts, new markets, but they get stuck in the silos. The other is it's unscalable. Management comes around, waves their hands, and says, we've got to come up with a new product. We've got to come up with some new idea. We've got to go attack a new market opportunity. But the problem is they go start the process off, but they don't build any of the resources. We don't put any of the resources in place in order to support that effort. So we maybe start one project, and it kind of peters out before you actually ever get anything out the other end. So you end up with this challenge of really being unscalable. The other is inflexible. You're asking people to change. You know, when we made the shift from a manufacturing economy in the 60s and 70s to the information economy, for those of us who lived through that cycle, we can all kind of, you know, think back to the challenges that were occurring, the retraining of workers to get them shifted out of a manufacturing economy into an information economy. That same turmoil is going to happen as we shift our workers into this creative economy. So the other is kind of an unclear criteria of what ideas to work on. What business are you in? Do you really know your customers? Do you really know the unmet needs of your customers? So how do customers make the transition? Step one is you got to change how you measure success. It's not about profit and loss anymore, albeit that's still coming important. You got to have cash in the bank in order to keep growing the business. But ask yourself the question, if you know this, what percentage of revenue from new products or services are you getting? So these are new fundamental products or services that you've introduced within some short period of time, a year or two. If it's in the single-digit percentage, you're obviously not in an innovation economy, because you constantly have to be meeting the unmet needs of your customers. The most important question is what percentage of margin is coming from new products or services? And you'd be amazed when you look at margin contribution, when look at the margin value that's generated from new products and services is traditionally much higher than from products and services that have been around for a while, to the point where your competitors can copy what you're doing. Next is you have to adapt some form of an innovation tool within your organization. You have to equip your people to be able to be creative and be innovative. Now, there's a lot of them out there. There's Triz, there's Da Vinci Method, there's Einstein's Method. There's a whole variety of them out there. One that I actually teach and one that I actually use within my organization is called Killer Innovations. I actually do, if you're interested, a weekly podcast. It's actually ranked number 2 on iTunes right now in the business category. So it's a weekly podcast on creativity and innovation. There's about 20,000 listeners around the world. But this is probably my contribution to try to help get people equipped to make this transition. If you're interested, you can just go to killerinnovations.com. It's actually hosted at CrossLink, which is actually a Fakir ISP hosting company. So again, we keep everything local, buy local, do everything local. But the basic structure around a lot of the innovation programs, Killer Innovations being one, is around really five areas. One is focus. Where do you want to make the innovation? Where do you want to make that breakthrough? Two, observe. Don't assume you know your customer. Third, ideation. You got to be able to generate ideas. And brainstorming by itself is not all that successful. But there's a lot of tools out there that you can use in order to try to drive and generate new ideas. Prototyping, obvious. But I can go on to another one-hour speech on how to do prototyping. And the most important, commercialize it. Ship the product or deliver the service. A lot of ideas never make it through the entire process. Now, it sounds easy. This kind of change can be really wrenching for a company. But the payoffs are enormous. If you look at the leading companies out there that are leading the charge in this transition towards the creative economy, and you look at their revenue growth, and you look at their margin growth, it is 2 to 3x companies that still operate primarily in the information or knowledge economy space. So making this transition is hard, it's gut-wrenching, it's challenging for your organization, but it's going to be necessary because as more and more jobs, more and more activities get outsourced, moved offshore, where's the growth opportunity? Where is it that in our economy, in our marketplace, with our people, that we can go and maintain our leadership on a worldwide scale? Now, there's a lot of talk about the U.S. becoming kind of the 98-pound weakling, given the explosive growth in China and in India, particularly with China. Who would ever thought that Gary, Indiana, which is actually where my wife and I grew up, and living through the shutoff of all the steel mills in Gary, 100% of the steel mills in Gary are now turned back on. Why? They're exporting every piece of steel they can make to China. So we're in the position of where we're manufacturing steel here and we're shipping it to China because they cannot get enough steel to keep their economy on the growth curve. When you think about that, that is scary. That's a scary transition that's happening in the marketplace. But the key here is there are some characteristics that we have in our economy that makes us unique to win in this move towards the creative. One is we have a highly educated workforce. We have the best university programs in the world. Foreign students come here to get their education, and they take that knowledge back. Now, part of our task or challenge here is when we get those students and educate them here, is to keep them here, working on behalf of our economy. Now, part of the challenge, however, is that, and this is kind of one of my soapboxes, we don't teach creativity in the school system. We teach the traditional knowledge-based rote memorization, facts, math. We emphasize math and science, which are all still very important, but we don't teach creativity. We can start teaching our kids creativity in the grade school ages and have it part of the program all the way through college. Creativity is not, some people view creativity as kind of being a gift from God. You know, you're creative, I'm not. You're creative, I'm not. We all kind of have this perspective, but give me 2 hours one-on-one with anybody in this room, and I can turn you around and show you that you can be highly, highly creative. Creativity can be taught. It's a skill. It's a skill that can be practiced, and it's a skill that you can become proficient at. We need to start teaching creativity to our students. So it isn't just about being creative about our business world, but you can also be creative about your things in your own personal life. Second is we need continuing access to new skills training to be able to retrain the workers that we do have for this transition in the economy. And I think, you know, even when I was with the CIO at Telligent, I started an alignment between Nova and Telligent where we actually funded, I think it was 30 or 40 scholarships a year for students at Nova, where in the information technology arena, whereby we would pay for them, and we also gave them a job 20 hours a week at a fairly nice salary, so it wasn't taking advantage of the fact that they were students.
We need more of those kinds of alignments. I'm a big believer in the community college program. All three of my kids have graduated with their associate's degrees from Nova before transferring to their four-year degree program. It's an excellent transition program. My wife teaches in the Nova system in the nursing program. That is where we can help these students, particularly the students that are transitioning to the four-year programs, to get them up to speed towards this new shift in the economy. The other is that we need industry and regional infrastructure to create the ecosystem that's needed. When you shift to this creative economy, you're not in a situation where one company, unless you're the size of HP, where you can have enough resources to do the entire end-to-end. You need companies that specialize in the idea generation. You need companies that specialize in doing prototyping. You need companies that specialize in doing market validation with customers. You need companies that specialize in commercialization and distribution. All the pieces of the value chain, each specializing that. I think programs like this, Fauquier High Tech, helps create that ecosystem here, but we need to do, obviously, continue to do more and more in that area. The other is that we need high levels of investment in R&D. We need both federal, state, local, and industry to recognize this shift in the economy and focus the R&D spend. If you look at total federal R&D spend that's going out, that's actually being leveraged into industry, it is down significantly. We need to begin to leverage that R&D and do a better job of focusing that R&D to make sure that the U.S. economy is in the best possible position to win in this shift. The other is the legal framework. We need the legal framework to make sure that the translation of idea to product is as easy as possible. Now, I'm not going to go into the whole, my view of the patent law and some of the challenges that we have with patent law today on intellectual properties, but believe me, it's a challenge. But we still have the leading legal infrastructure from the standpoint of allowing a person who invents an idea to be able to maximize that value. And we also need a culture of sensible risk-taking. We need to recognize that companies are going to take risks. And this gets a little bit back into the investment community. We've trained our executives, both at small businesses, if you have bank loans, large businesses, if you have a large number of shareholders, tied to the quarterly number. We have to recognize and we have to change that culture from the standpoint of recognizing that companies are going to take some risks during this transition to the creative economy. They're going to come out with products that maybe aren't the best products. They're going to come out with a product that maybe doesn't quite hit it right out of the bat. It's going to need some adjustments. Do you penalize that company, or do you believe in the management team and you believe in the fundamental shift and you double down your bet and stand behind that organization or that company as it makes the move? If it's going to take that leadership step, you got to be willing to take the risks. So, in closing, the revolution or the change has just barely begun. You know, there aren't a lot of companies out there that you can point to that are going to be the big winners that have a proven path to success. It's a transition that is still early. So building creative, innovative companies is really the task at hand if we're going to stay competitive here in the U.S., given the shift as more and more jobs go offshore. Success actually is fairly easy. It requires three things. Do the right thing, the right way, at the right time. If it was easy as that, we'd all be highly successful. But that's as simple as it gets, doing the right thing, the right way, and the right time. Sounds easy, doesn't it? And with that, thank you for your time, and we'll take questions. With that, let's wrap it up. There's no killer question this week because, again, I'm just squeezing this in. I just got done with all the family activities with my daughter's wedding. Family members are still here visiting, so the house is still fairly full. In fact, I'm squeezed up into my master bedroom recording this just to try to get something out there since it's been so long since I posted a podcast and I
And definitely, I've gotten so used to putting a podcast out every week, I feel like there's something missing if I don't get one up. So wanted to get that there quickly. Please send me your feedback at podcast@killerinnovations.com. You can always Skype me at Phil_McKinney. You can also send me an invitation to join your social network on LinkedIn. If you send me the invitation, please make sure to note that you're a podcast listener, because I do get a lot of LinkedIn requests. Most of them I ignore unless I know the individual. But if you tell me that you're a listener to the podcast, I'll go ahead and accept your invitation. Don't forget to vote, podcastalley.com. You can also post comments about the show up at iTunes, at Yahoo, or any other sites that you see, and spread the word. We're seeing growth again in the podcast listeners. The word's getting out. And I really do appreciate you sharing the word and posting information about the podcast on your own blogs or on other sites that you frequent that have the theme around creativity and innovation. And with that, we're going to wrap it up. I'll hopefully put a podcast out next weekend, which is actually a holiday weekend here in the U.S. called Memorial Weekend. And then I will be heading back to California, coming off of vacation, and hopefully get back to a regular schedule of putting out the weekly podcast. With that, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.